Amen, amen. Good morning, good morning. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. We thank God for another day's journey. Amen. It is a blessing that we've come to a Mother's Day in 2020. Amen. I want to say good morning to all the mothers out there, whether you be a spiritual mother or a physical mother. And we thank God for all of you because, as you'll see in our message today, you are very critical and very important to God's operations on earth. Amen. It is just a great thing that He designed motherhood to be all that it is. And it's something that is worthy to be set aside so that we can give honor to our mothers on a day like this. So we want to start by thanking God for all you mothers out there. We love you today. And we pray this will be a very good, memorable day for you. Realize the situation is a little bit strange out here in the world, but God still loves us. He's still on the throne. Amen. And we're grateful that you are here, and we thank God for you. So we're going to go before the throne right now in a word of prayer. I want to say special blessings to the mothers of St. Timothy. They are some of the greatest folks I know on earth. Been knowing them so long, and we just thank God for all of you. And all of you out there, no matter where I know you from, just thank God for you. Amen. And it is a blessing. My mom is with the Lord Jesus, so I thank God for her. Amen. And I'm just happy to be here and that she gave me a way to be here and looking forward to being with her again soon. Amen. Whenever the Lord sends for me. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. I thank God for allowing us to come this morning. Let's pray. Everlasting God, our Father, we love you today, Father. We praise you. We lift up your name, Father. We're just so thankful that you have let us be here. Father, we exalt you because you are excellent and worthy to be praised. Father, we know you have covered us, protected us, and no matter what kind of things the world has dealt out to us, the flesh, man, or the devil, either one, you have covered us, Lord God. So we want to thank you right now for all your goodness and all your mercy. Father, you did it because you are a good God and you are worthy of all of our praise. And so, Father, we delight just to be your children today, Father. We ask you to cover us, forgive us for sins known and unknown, Lord God. We ask for healing mercies for all those out there that need a touch from your hand. Father, we've seen you do the most miraculous healing that there ever was when you raised Lazarus up out the grave after 4 days. And so, Father, we know you can heal any little problems that we might be having. So we want to just thank you right now, Lord God, for the healing mercies that flow from your hand. Father, look at all the mothers today, God. Have mercy on every one of them, Lord. Give them joy in a time of feeling satisfied and fulfilled today for the great work that you have used them to do. Father, we pray you bless them today real well and that they would all just rejoice in you. And Father, we ask you to look over your church everywhere, all over the world. We know that you have caused a great shaking in the land. And Father, we just ask you to give us wisdom for such a time as this. Father, help us to be able to stand and tell the gospel, that good news that you gave your son, in order that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Bless somebody out there today to understand that, Lord. Somebody struggling with what do they need to do to be saved. So, Father, we pray you prepare their mind that they may receive this seed of the word upon good soil and that it would be to their benefit that they would learn that you love them just like they are and that you raised your son out the grave to let them know that they don't have to worry about a thing. So, Father, we thank you today. We praise you today. We exalt your name. We give you all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. It's all right to give him praise. Amen. Scripture says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell in it. Amen. So if you're in his world, you ought to give him praise. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. I have a message that I'd like to talk with you about. We want to give greetings, as we say, to all the mothers that are here today and all the associates around them. Whoever you are to just thank God for your mom. They are right now. So today we honor our mothers, and we have a special message on this wonderful day in which we will celebrate the beauties of honoring mothers, whether they be with us or not, because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a mother. Amen. So you ought to just thank God for letting you be here. I know I do. And I know I'll catch up with Mom a little bit later, because I know what she believed and what she taught me and how she nurtured me. And so I'm looking forward to seeing her again. And so we're going to take time and honor them today, because it was through them that we have been granted the means to be here. And it is indeed a great thing to recognize them and honor them for that, just the fact that they let you be here. Now, I know some people's relationships with their mothers and fathers have been strained and difficult, and I understand that. But just thank God, because he let you be here, and he used them, no matter how your relationship was, in order to get you into the world. And so you ought to thank them, if nothing more, just for the fact they let you come into the world, and they were the means through which God allowed you to be here. Amen. So in this message today, we're going to talk about just a biblical tribute to motherhood. And I would like just for a few minutes to discuss what God's holy word says in a few aspects about what a marvelous thing he has created and given us, the institution of motherhood. And without mothers, there could be no humanity. There would be no people that were not for mothers. So we got to thank God for that. There would be no gospel. This is what I want you to understand. The gospel is the good news that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And the fact that he is a son who is fully human lets you know there must be a mother in order for there to be a gospel. So this is why motherhood is important. We'll explain that a little better. And there would therefore be no salvation. If there was no Son of God, no one could be saved. Now, we know the world is, as we mentioned so many times, in a politically correct mode, and they want to give credence to things that they say is the way to God. But the only one that defeated the grave is the Lord Jesus Christ. He got up out of the grave with all power in his hands. All other so-called spiritual leaders are still in the grave. So I don't have much reason to believe them, you see. And the only one that you should trust is the one who got out of the grave. And there wouldn't be a church and no preaching if Jesus had not risen from the dead. And so that's what we really need, especially with all the threats against our lives and all that that's going on, you know, all these viruses and sicknesses and disease. Not to mention it was bad enough already before they came up with coronavirus. You see what I'm saying? There was already cancer and all kinds of other stuff, hepatitis, so on and so forth. And so we just want to say that we thank God that no matter what there has been in this world, he has given us a way out of it. He has given us a cure for it. And we thank him and praise his name, because he has blessed us and given us what we need. And we're still here, no matter what it was, no matter what kind of an illness there was. God has put you here for a purpose. You have a purpose in your life. He loves you just like you are. And he's loves me. I always like to say he loves me just like I am, but he loves me too much to leave me that way. So he keeps making me a little better day by day. Amen. So I want to praise him for that. And it was because of my mother that he was able to bring me into this world. And not just me and you, but also his son. So we want to talk about that in this message today. So without motherhood, there can be no humanity, no gospel, no salvation. So now, you know, James Brown said this, and I don't often quote secular writers, but I think what he said has some bearing on what we're talking about today. He said, this is a man's world. And then he had enough sense to turn around and say, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl. Amen. And mentioning him makes me think about our friend who recently passed, Little Richard. Amen. We thank God for his contribution to humanity. And because he was a prolific individual. And to me, I mean, he wrote some things and made some big changes in the way music is done. And I just want to mention him at this time, as I have mentioned James Brown. But James Brown said that the world wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl. And he's right about that, even though that's not Bible, it's nevertheless true. And so we want to give credit where credit is due. And we pray for the family of Little Richard that they make it through this time, and that his life is going to be tremendous. I tell you, you're going to hear all kinds of things about him in the days to come, just as we have all the other superstars from the past. And sometimes, as you know, different artists don't get a lot of credit until they do pass. Amen. And so that's a terrible thing to think about, but we love God, and we want to give credit where credit is due. So more importantly, I want to talk with you what the Bible teaches us, which is even more profound, or more profound reality of concerning mothers, even to the aspect that it was possible for the incarnation of his son because of his design of motherhood. Now, you'll find our notes if you're interested in following me with the notes, or they'll be online at teachingbible.org. But I'm just going to talk with you today about motherhood and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without mothers, we said that already. Let's look at a text here. Let's go straight to the word. Here in Genesis 2, I want to get a couple of verses from chapter 2, verses 24 to 25. For this reason, it says here, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's what it said there in Genesis 2, 24. And the man, it says here, and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. And then over in chapter 3 in Genesis, you find these words in verse 20. Now the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Now these two verses are the first mention, actually the first verse, 2:24, is the first mention of the word mother. And it was at a time when there were no mothers. There was only a man. And God has some commentary to say about that. And there was also no sin. This is the thing I really want you to see. There was no sin. There was no woman. It was just Adam. And the first thing that the Bible says is not good. And y'all who study with me, you know I talk about this a lot. It says that it was not good that the man should be alone. And that's in Genesis 2:18. And this is at a time when there was no sin. Nobody had transgressed God. Everything was perfect and spotless and holy without a blemish. And God said, in spite of the fact that there was no sin, sin doesn't happen until chapter 3, that it's not good that the man should be alone. And so when he said that, you know, you have to really give that some attention when you're in a state where the Bible says it's complete paradise, absolute holiness, no sin, but yet it is not good that the man should be alone. How can anything not be good? And primarily if there was no sin, you might ask the question, well, how could there be not good? How can anything be not good in Genesis 2? Well, the only thing that is not good is that it's not good that the man should be alone. So God was looking more deeply at what was going on and then what you and I were thinking and the way we might think. And so this is a profound revelation that what God did in order to take care of that thing that was not good was that, as you know, he put Adam, who was sinless, into a deep sleep. And he removed the rib, the scripture says, and closed up the flesh thereof. And he fashioned a woman and brought her to the man. And so what we read first in Genesis 2:24 was Adam's response to receiving a helper that was suitable for him. That's why God said in Genesis 2:18, when there is no sin, that it's not good that the man should be alone. So he was going to make a help or helper suitable for him, and help meet, it says, which means suitable for him. Now think about this, and this was a profound revelation to me. God took Adam, a perfectly spotless, sinless man. At that point in the narrative in Genesis, there is no sin, no corruption has entered into the creation. And yet God took Adam and opened his side. We'll get back to that later. Took out a rib. Now, you know, when he opened his side, blood was shed. When the rib was taken out, because Adam was flesh and blood. And the fact is, he took Eve out while Adam was still holy, with no sin. So when he fashioned the woman, she was made without sin at that same time, out of his womb, from his side. And that's significant because when we see Jesus on the cross, what we see is him hanging there between heaven and earth, shedding sinless blood, because he alone was sinless, in order to redeem mankind from sin. And so we see a kind of a foreshadowing of that in the book of Genesis when we see Adam in a sinless state, and it's not good that he should be alone, and God takes out a rib and makes a woman and brings her to Adam. So that's significant, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in detail as we go. But then we see here now, as Adam prophesies, that it says here that for the first usage of the word mother in the Bible, is right there in Genesis 2:24. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. See that? And the two shall be one flesh. They become one flesh. Now, what they were already one flesh in a sense, because she was taken out of man. But if there's going to be something else that God is doing, a deeper spiritual thing that you and I need to understand. God was preparing that man would not be alone because God already knew about sin and the activity of the devil coming in to corrupt the creation. And so before that sin happened, the first thing that was not good, it was not good that man should be alone. God made the woman in sinless perfection, and he designed her anatomy so that he could become flesh when the fullness of time was come without sin. Now let me take a minute right there, because that's a deep thing. That's quite a bit to digest. But at that moment, he was preparing the doorway through which he could send Jesus Christ, his son, into the world without sin. And that's what you need to get out of this. If you pray on this, it'll bless your soul very well. Go and don't just pray. Go and get a book, if you don't know this already, on human anatomy, and you'll find out that in the womb, that the blood of the fetus, it does not mix with the blood of the mother. That's still true right now today. So this was not anything Moses knew anything about, who is the writer there in Genesis. He knew nothing about this, but he wrote it down and it's true. And our science today proves that what was going on there is still true. You know, it was not until not long ago that men understood that the bloodstream of the fetus does not mix with the bloodstream of the mother, and that the blood in the fetus's veins is from the father. And so primarily what you see there is God was making, he made a barrier in his design of woman in order to protect the gospel, which would eventually come when his son would be born of a woman, and not just a woman, but a virgin. The Virgin Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why her virginity was a significant thing, was that she was not contaminated by any man. And yet God was able to produce from her his son without sin. All the way from Genesis clear through to 42 generations after the calling of Abraham. And you know what? Even today, right now today, this very second, there is no woman anywhere that shares the bloodstream with her child. So understand that. That's just an anatomical fact. And this is why the wisdom of God is so profound. There's no way that Moses could have known that. When he wrote that down, no way he could have known that. Science had not understood that. They didn't even understand it back a few generations back, many generations back, back at the time of the birth of Christ. Nobody understood that. And so, you know what, it was not until many years later that children could even be born by cesarean section. And the name cesarean section comes from the name of Caesar, and that was in the Roman Empire. And somebody says it's possible that he was the first one to be born by a C-section, as we call it today. And that's because the babies would die if the woman couldn't produce and have labor and bring forth a child. So the beginning of children is a wonderful thing. Do some research on this. We won't take a lot of time today because I don't want our clock to run too long here. But I want you to understand it was God doing something there when he said, it's not good that man should be alone, and I'll make a helper suitable for him, because he was going to protect mankind through his design of the woman that he made with the sinless blood of Adam that was taken from her side, from his side. See that? Just put that in your mind and think about how wonderful that is. See, that's Jim hitting over in the book of Genesis. So in Genesis 3, the next mention is after the sin and is hit. Now, Genesis 3:20, it says, now the man called his wife Eve, so he gives her a name at this point, because she was the mother of all living. And that's the second usage of the word mother. And it says there, she is the mother of all living. Understand that. No one could be living if it hadn't been for motherhood, because Adam had no way to produce by himself. I know we live in a culture today in a time when people want to try to perfect cloning and all kinds of other stuff that's unnatural. But the natural way that everybody has been born, and one of the greatest reasons why we know there is no evolution, is because, as I always ask people, and this may sound like a crazy question, who do you know doesn't have a belly button? And I don't know anybody. I've never seen anyone in my lifetime that didn't have a belly button. And that means you were born of a woman. You came forth from the seed of a man. You were implanted in a woman, and you were born. And that's how everybody I've ever seen has been. I haven't seen anybody evolve. You want to take it back. Even the primates have a belly button. That means they were born. And that goes all the way back to the first set of them. And motherhood is an important thing God has put throughout many species in the world. But getting back on point here, I want you to see that Adam pronounces her name Eve there. And he says it's because she is the mother of all living. That means nobody evolved. Everybody was born, simply put. And so don't let anybody trick you with any craziness. Mothers rejoice in the fact that you are of that same supernatural design that God made when he made Eve, the first mother, who is called the mother of all living. Amen. This is why motherhood is worthy to be celebrated, simply on that fact alone. So Adam prophesied the first usage of the word mother in Genesis 2:24, for which there had never been a mother as of yet, but will become the means by which all human beings would be produced through the natural affections of man and woman and through divine intervention of Almighty God, and thus the concept of procreation. Procreation means that God adds a soul when man and woman add what comes from man and what comes from woman to produce a child. That's why the Bible says that children are fearfully and wonderfully made. You hear the scripture say that I was knit together in my mother's womb by God. That before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And that I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. You hear that in Jeremiah 1:5. So many places the scripture lets you know that God is involved in that process of birthing a child. And he uses the institution of motherhood in order to isolate the seed of man from the seed basically from the woman. And the woman just carries the child. That's the reason why we say that. Now, some of y'all who study with me have heard some of this teaching before, but I wanted to say it because we have a new audience here on Facebook, and I just would like other people to know as well. And I'm sure it blesses me every time I hear it, so chances are you're blessed too. Amen. So we want to move right on. So what I want you to see there in Genesis, we get the footprint, basically, or the blueprint, I should say, for all of humanity, which is a wonderful thing. God is an awesome God. I see Brother Douglas would agree with me on that. We were at church, he'd be jumping up and down saying, thank you, Jesus. I understand that, and so would I. Amen. And we are at church, amen. So we study the Lord right here, right now. And so notice this now. I want to give you one more factor here. In Genesis 3:20, Adam ascribes the name Eve to his wife because she is the mother of all living, which is a term that is true not only in the physical sense, because she is the physical mother of all living, but also in a spiritual sense, because of the way that God designed the woman's anatomy, where there is no sharing of the bloodstream of the mother with the child in the womb, but the baby makes its own blood, and which originates from the father. So that's a fact. Look that up. Don't believe me? Look it up. If you don't know it already, look it up. It's fascinating. It'll just blow your mind. Now, who would have known that? How would Moses have known that? How would anybody in that primitive time have known that? You know, we take a lot for granted in our time because we are, well, the average person today knows more medical knowledge than what doctors would have known in the days of Moses. Back in those days, they knew some stuff how to heal people, but they didn't understand so many things. There was not even a microscope until the 1600s. And so nobody could see that there were tiny organisms that exist that we call cells, bacteria, germs, viruses. Nobody understood that at all. Not very well. But you know what? The scripture was accurate on all that. Quarantine and all of that happened when there was leprosy back in the days of the book of Leviticus and the book of the law. God told them to isolate a person, and that's called quarantine, basically, for 7 days if they showed up with a rash. So he told people what to do, but he didn't tell them why, because God already knew there was microorganisms. You know why? Because he invented them. And today we have a big thing, and I have to get on my soapbox just for a minute, if y'all don't mind. People think science is one thing, and religion is another thing. Well, religion might be, but the truth is where science comes from. God is omniscience. He knows everything. He designed everything. He knew that there were bacteria and all these things way back then, but he didn't deprive man of the ability to discover these things on his own. Because he told Adam when he made him and put him in the garden, he said, I put you and give you dominion over all the creation, and you subdue it, make it give you its secrets. God knew all the secrets. You know, a lot of stuff man didn't figure out for a long time. God made birds that fly through the air so man would know that flight is possible. But we didn't fly until not too long ago. You see what I'm saying? Look, go back and read up on the Wright brothers. You'll find out that they were the ones who finally got something that basically would fly through the air. But God had made flight all the way at the beginning before man was made, when he made birds and put an atmosphere around the earth. So don't ever let anybody tell you God is not scientific and there's something different between science and God. No, no, no. God is omniscience. He knows everything. There isn't anything he does not know. And anything you know, you learn because he allowed you to do so. So you ought to give him praise and glory. And the Bible is completely scientific. All the truths of things that we're talking about here were written down long before any of this technology that we have. But we live in a time that doesn't want to give God praise, doesn't want to give him glory. They want to act like science is everything and scripture is nothing. But you know what? When you get in the Word, it's absolutely true. Everything it says about science is 100% true. And it was written before you had a microscope. It was written before you had a telescope. It was written before you had a test tube or before you knew anything about science. So you can always trust God. And motherhood is something God designed in order to bless humanity and to bring forth people. And it still goes on like that right now today. So all you really can do, what I would do, I would recommend that you give him praise. That's what you ought to do, is give God praise. Exalt his name. Praise his name. Don't act like science is one thing and God is another. That's only because you are lost. You need Jesus. That's the problem. And then this is what you need to do. Repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. God had designed woman so that, as Paul says to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, and born under the law, to deliver us from the curse of the law. And this is what I want you to understand. So he had a very intense thing in mind when he wrote these things down and for all of mankind, because he would send his son in order to save man from sin. Because the problem of sin didn't come until Genesis 3. God had already said it was not good that man should be alone, Genesis 2, when there was no sin. And so what I want you to see now, Paul also alludes to this, but most of you who study the word, you know that Israel was considered to be the wife of God the Father in the Old Covenant. And you'll see that in Isaiah, different places in the Old Testament, where God considers himself to be a father and he considers himself to be a husband to Israel, the covenant people. He selected them, chose them to be his own in order that he might bring to the world his son when the fullness of time was come, Jesus the Christ. Keep in mind, Abraham was a Chaldean Gentile, called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he was selected at the age of 75, and God told him that he would have a seed. He told him, get out of your country and away from your kindred, and come into a land that I'll show you, and I'll bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless the one who blesses you, and curse him that curses you. And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. See that? And so he promised a man at 75 that had no seed, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. His wife Sarah was barren. She could not produce, or had not produced all that time. And it was not till 25 years later that God allowed Isaac to be born and conceived in the womb of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And from that time of Abraham on through up to the time of Mary in the New Testament, God was sending his son through that line, all the way through the line of the kings, King David, King Solomon, on through the divided kingdom, which was Israel in the north and Judah in the south, on through for 400 years of a break after the deportation of Babylon to Babylon of the southern kingdom. And finally, during the Roman Empire, he came to the Virgin Mary and annunciated to her that she would be the one God had chosen. God's still thinking all the way back to Genesis 2:18 that it's not good that the man should be alone, but I will make him a helper suitable for him. The design of the woman was what God made in order to bring forth his son with no sin when the fullness of time was come, as Paul writes to the Galatians. Now, I want you to see a verse here for my New Testament text before we go on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul, writing a letter to the church at Corinth, says this: I wish that you would bear me. I'm reading in the NASB translation for this portion. I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. He says, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband so that Christ might, so that to Christ I might present you a pure virgin. So did you realize in the New Testament God considers the church to be a pure virgin to his son, Christ? Just as in the Old Testament, God the Father considered himself the husband of Israel. See? And so he produced the seed of through the seed of Abraham, a son, and then through his son Jesus, he will adopt you into his family. And you are born not of flesh nor the will of man, but of God, John says, when you believe the gospel. Now let me explain that in case you don't understand what the gospel is. And this is kind of almost a summary of what we want to talk about in honor of our mothers today. The gospel is the good news that God loves everybody. He has been saving both Jew and Gentile all the way through. And you've never seen God send away a Gentile who believed in him. Salvation is given by grace. That means undeserved kindness. It's not a thing you can deserve or that you can earn. It's not by works of righteousness, as Paul writes to the Titus, that we've done. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his great mercy that he poured out upon us richly in Christ Jesus by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So this is where the motherhood piece comes in. I want you to see that God prepared a way all the way back there when he made the first woman, Eve, the mother of all living, so that when the fullness of time was come, he could send forth his son, made of a woman. And made of a woman, why? Because she was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived in the womb of a virgin when the fullness of time was come. So what happened there? Think about this. Look at Acts 20:28, and you'll find out that the blood that was in the seed of Jesus that was conceived by the Holy Spirit was from God. That's what it says there, that he purchased the church with his own blood. There in Acts 20:28, you can look that up. So the fact is, when the Holy Spirit overshadowed the virgin, she did not contribute to the bloodstream of that child, and she gave forth birth to a son whose name was Jesus. And he came into the world with God's blood in his womb. Now, maybe he got it when he cut that side of Adam and got that blood. I don't know where it came from. And that's not in the Bible, but I want you to understand that when Adam's side was open, his blood was sinless. And God brought forth his bone and his flesh and made Eve. And then he put a separation in the design of the woman so that she did not contribute to that bloodstream. And think about how not good it would be if God didn't have a way to become flesh without being contaminated with Adam's sin. So God had made a way not to be contaminated with Adam's sin all the way at the very beginning in order that he might bring forth his son. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So this is what accounts for the perfect, spotless life of Jesus the Christ, was the fact that he had no sin. There was no deceit in his mouth. And it was because of God's design of mothers that he was able to bring forth his son. Even today, mothers don't share the bloodstream with their children. And you'll find that to be true. Check it out. And it'll bless you. It'll bless your soul. Because God was doing a deep thing all the way back there in Genesis, and I promise you, Moses didn't have the medical understanding like we have in order to understand that. He just wrote what the Spirit said to write. And so that blesses my soul. So in 2 Corinthians, as Paul writes the church at Corinth, once again, just to get back to my text, he says, I'm jealous for you, 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so to present Christ, that I might present you as a pure virgin. See, and the church is considered to be a pure virgin. How does that happen? That's a good question, isn't it? You say, oh, I know the folks in the church, they ain't no pure virgin. Well, you know how they got to be? God covered them with the sinless blood of Jesus the Christ. He covered them with the sinless blood of his son in order that he might give us perfection that we could never earn or never deserved. That's why we call it gospel. It's good news that God loves you and he's given his son in order that whoever believes in him doesn't have to do with your own personal works. It has to do with do you believe in him. And you know what? He'll fix your works. He'll make them better. But don't get tricked into thinking it's something you do. That's what he's saying to these Corinthians, because he says, for in verse number 3, for I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity of the purity of devotion to Christ. Remain devoted to Christ. You know what I thought about, and I'm just going to say this, and hopefully you don't think this is a soapbox. But when you meet somebody and you fall in love with them, you find out they're beautiful, they meet your needs, and you want to be with them, you want to spend your time with them, but you don't know everything about them. And all of you who are married or have been married, you know that as you learn a person, you find out that they don't have all perfect qualities. You learn about the good qualities and the bad qualities, and sometimes it creates conflict. You see what I'm saying? And so, but you know what? When you're in love, love is blind, people say. And I don't know about that, but I would say that you only look for the good qualities in a person. Well, think about that. That's kind of how God does you. When you come to his son, the moment you believe in him, he accepts you exactly like you are. You know what? He has always loved you. No matter who you are, he has always loved you. And he will continue to love you. And the thing about the gospel is he's inviting you, love me back. If you love me back, I will, and believe me, then I will give you my son, and he will cover you. Once that commitment is made, you are bound together, and these two become one flesh. So this is how the gospel is very important, because we become one flesh with Jesus, with his spotless, sinless flesh, and God accepts you just like you are. On the basis of that matrimony to Christ. And then you know what? He keeps on improving us, teaching us his word. He fills us with his spirit. All of this by grace, not that we earn it, not that we deserve it, but that he's a good God and he loves you. You know what? God has loved man all the way from the beginning. When he created everything, first thing he did is put man in it. Let us make man after our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Look what he did. He gave us dominion over the world, and we have people now that don't even want to acknowledge God at all. They think science is a better thing than God and knowing about God. How foolish. God is the one that gave you everything you have. And, you know, even this stuff with the Earth Day stuff, I don't want to go back too far here, but they're talking about worshiping the earth rather than worshiping God. You know what? God made the earth and gave the dominion. You ought to thank him, praise him, and worship him. Because he's also going to destroy the earth. Did you know that? The scripture has prophesied the complete destruction of the earth. It's going to be rolled up like a scroll, and there will be no place found for it. And John tells us that in the book of Revelation. So the right thing to do is be in right standing with God. Not anything you can do. It's something he did already. And this is why we call it gospel. It's good news. Because all you need to do is believe. Whosoever believes in Jesus Christ shall not be put to shame, but you will be married to the Lord. Looking on at the text again for our last verse, here Paul doesn't want the deceit of the devil to come in. Now, you can think about that. I just have to elaborate on this just a minute. The devil comes in and says, what is it? Did God say you really can't eat that fruit? He tunes right in on that one fruit that God said, don't eat. Don't eat it. The day you eat, you should surely die. So, you know what? They could have eaten anything else. But he tunes them right in on the one thing God said, don't do. And then, of course, he deceived Eve. That's why Paul mentions to the Corinthians that I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, 2 Corinthians 11:3, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity of the purity of devotion to Christ. Don't ever let anybody trick you and move you away from the simplicity of the devotion to Christ. Be devoted to Christ. Realize he has done everything, and we have nothing to add to it. Like the songwriter says, nothing in my hand I bring, but only to your cross I cling. Hang on to what Jesus has provided you, and don't let it be corrupted by the devil and be deceived into thinking you have to add anything to what God has already done. And he says in verse 11, 2 Corinthians 11:4, verse 4, For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which ye have not received, or a different gospel that you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. In other words, don't let somebody come to you with a twisted gospel or something else telling you you've got to add some tongues or you've got to add some works or this, that, or the other. You don't have anything. You have nothing to contribute to this. We're completely bankrupt of spirituality, and God gives it to the ones who believe in his son. And then he teaches you how to be spiritual and how to be righteous. Let me go on and say this before I shut up here. I'm really a little longer than I wanted to be, but I have missed preaching for a while here, and I thank God for my mothers and friends and neighbors and everybody who's listening in today. But I want you to understand that God provides what you need entirely. No more than you provided yourself an earth to live on can you provide yourself salvation. God is the one who does that all by himself. You can trust what he has given you in his word. The devil is a liar and the father of it. He's a murderer from the beginning, Jesus said. So don't believe a liar and a murderer. Trust God, especially in these difficult times that we're going through. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, so walk with God. He's going to bring you through all the way through. You don't have to do any of it. But now he will make you a better man or woman than you've ever been, a better father or mother than you've ever been, a better friend, a better husband, a better wife. He's the only one that can do that. So in summary, this also explains how God was doing more than giving a solution for the first thing the Holy Scripture says is not good, which is not good that the man should be alone, but I will make him and help me. But he was also making a way for the incarnation of Jesus, the Messiah, his only begotten son, to be able to be born without the sin of Adam, so that all mankind, as the Apostle Paul speaks of metaphorically with the church at Corinth, as being the bride of Christ, so that she would not be led astray as the serpent deceived Eve to receive another gospel or another Jesus. See? So don't receive another gospel or another Jesus. The true gospel is God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come here for your condemnation, but that the world through him might be saved. If you believe in Jesus Christ today, that's what God requires of you to be saved. If you trust him with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. God wants you to enter into a trust relationship with him. You know what? He is totally trustworthy. No matter what Adam did, no matter what Eve did, God is completely trustworthy. And he has never been wrong, and he never will. And he loves you. He promises that he does, and he's given his son to prove it. It was not just something he said. He did it. And history is centered around Christ. So it'll be easy for you to believe in him. And if you accept him today, God will give you salvation. You will become married to Christ, and you don't have to worry about a thing. I don't care what it is, corona, whatever, name something. God has you covered. And he's the only one that has defeated the grave and has shown by his resurrection that not even death is a problem. So I know I need him, and I hope you know too now. Let's pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we bless you, we praise you. Father, somebody has heard the word today, and they're believing the gospel, the good news, that you alone can save. You gave your son and allowed him to be crucified on the Roman cross that you had predicted in your Old Testament. All the way through that he would come right at a particular time and everything happened with exact perfection, and Jesus hung there and bled and died on the cross in order to save whoever believes in him. And so, Father, right now today, somebody's coming. They need to be saved. This is a good day to be saved. Mothers everywhere need to be blessed. Lord, we ask you bless them all. And, Father, that one that's agreeing right now that I need Jesus, I need salvation, we ask you to save them right now where they are and let them have that assurance that you've given to so many other thousands for years and years, that they are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus Christ alone. Bless every mother today with a good day, Father, and those who are with you, we know they're already rejoicing, waiting on the balance of these things that you have prophesied to come to pass. And so, Father, we thank you for all our mothers. We ask that the ones that are here with us be blessed today. And, Father, that you would save all those who are calling upon your name right now. We thank you for what you've already done, and we give you the praise. We give you the glory. And it's in Jesus' name, that risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. Amen. We hope you prayed that prayer with us if you haven't ever done it before. And we hope you have a blessed rest of your Mother's Day. May God bless you and be with you.